Okay, do you need me up there? Is there a flame?
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Today we light the first and second candles of the Advent wreath. Each candle has a meaning. The first candle is hope. The second candle is peace.
Let the
peace of
Christ. This is all of us here. Oh yeah, you all have a role in the Advent light ceremony.
Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since you are one body, you are called to peace. Almighty God, you offer rest for our hearts and peace for our souls. Give us grace to seek peace in our lives, peace in this community, and peace in the world. Through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God.
So today my plan was to introduce a democratic element to our liturgy and have you vote on if you wanted me to do a children's homily or if you wanted to say the canticle that's assigned for today. But Gabby, would you mind to help me tell the story? If you don't want to, you don't have to, but okay. And if you're interested in today's canticle, it's found on page 92 in the Red Book. It's the Song of Zechariah, and you can look at it. It's kind of neat. But that's, instead of a psalm on this occasion, there's a canticle sign, and so that ever happens. So, What's different? It's blue, right? And that's kind of a surprise, right? You kind of expect it to be green, right? You show up, it's green, and then it's green, and then you show up the next Sunday, and it's green, and then you come the Sunday after that, and it's green, and then you show up three more Sundays, and it's green all those three Sundays, and then one day you show up, and it's blue. It's like a little surprise, right? So sometimes things happen like that. They're like surprises that happen in our life, right? And this blue season that we're in of Advent is all about waiting during the surprises, right? Waiting for this joy to come into our lives, and what happens when we're waiting for joyful moments to come into our life. And so we're going to go on a little journey here about joy. So one time, Casey and I got a surprise, right? And we had to wait for that surprise. We knew we were going to get the surprise. We knew it was going to come, but we had to wait for it. Guess how many months we had to wait for it? 9 months. That's right. Okay. So let's go find the first month. Somebody sitting on it over here. Oh, I think it's right under you. Okay. All right. So this surprise, this part of the surprise, the first month, we realized, Casey and I realized, we are not ready. We are unready. Completely not ready. That's what we learned. So in the second month, you're going to have to hold all these things. All right. On the second month, it's because you're the only one here, and so you get to hold all these things. It's a balancing act. It's important. We learned on the second one that we will need to learn more about how to love. That's what we learned. So when you're waiting on stuff, God teaches you how to love. That's part of the waiting. At month three, we were next to George over here, and we learned that our family loves us very much and will support us. I'll hold this one. How about it? Okay. And then at month four, what did we learn? That getting ready is hard work. There was some painting that was going on, some putting together of furniture, all these things that you kind of, sometimes when you're waiting, you have to work for it, right? When you're expecting joy, you have to work for it. Okay. So at five, you get to hold five. Yes. It's important to believe that God is with us. That's what we learned. That when you're waiting on stuff, it's important that you believe in your heart that God is there in the waiting too. At month six, month six is missing. Oh. It will be a travesty if we cannot find six. Okay, here we go. Month six. My turn. What did we learn? Oh, yes, we learned that our church family at Thaddeus and Albans loves us very much and will help us. It's important that we have friends along the way. Month seven. All right. Your turn. Got it? So what we learned at month seven is that when there's joy, you have to celebrate it. But that's the part of the waiting, is that figuring out how to celebrate the joy. Right? And then at month eight, we learn... Here, you get to hold month eight, too. We learn that love makes everything easier. Love makes the waiting easier. And then at month nine, we learn that there's a little guy named Simon who's like half asleep. That's okay. We'll just pick up the whole thing. That's what we learned at month nine. That when you wait, sometimes life shows up in the waiting. You can leave all those blocks right here. So Advent is all about learning to love the lessons that God teaches us when we're waiting. Gabby, thank you for helping me to tell that story. Bam. All right.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now.
I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis. I had practiced that and everything. Trachonitis. And Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Trachonitis.
Good morning. You may be seated. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just about ready for some time off. I'm looking forward to spending some time possibly getting to my hobbies, the things that I enjoy in doing in my spare time. I'm sure some of you have hobbies or pastimes that you enjoy doing. Some people like doing puzzles, crocheting, maybe even getting out and hiking. I like drawing and painting, and my happy place is when I can find the time to enjoy the freedom of expression to be creative. One of the struggles that I've had over the years with drawing is drawing hands. And anytime I would have to draw someone, I would always avoid the hands because that was my anxiety, that was my struggle. It's like, I'm not going to get the proportions right. So one day I decided to embrace that struggle, and I did a full sketchbook of just nothing but hands. And I did them from different angles. And by the time I was done, this practice helped me face what I did not like doing. It helped me face that struggle, and I overcame it. I wish I could do this with all aspects of my life. I have a fear of heights, and I'm still working on overcoming most of that, and I've faced a few challenges, and I've accomplished that, but you're still not going to get me to go bungee jumping. Well, in our gospel message today, we have a voice shouting out in the wilderness. And this voice is meant to cause a stir in the people and give warning of what is coming. It is as if a storm is coming and this voice is saying, "It's time to go, people. There's no time left. We need to evacuate before the storm gets here." And this voice belongs to John the Baptist. And we hear John proclaiming, "You brood of vipers, who told you to escape from God's coming anger? You'd better prove your repentance by bearing the proper fruit." The message that John is delivering was prophesied in Isaiah 40, and it is from the old prophets and speaks of a time of renewal. And this passage can bring about a good deal of anxiety. And quite frankly, I think it's the perfect time to get the seminarian to do the sermon. And I'm glad he's laughing. It speaks of God's wrath, which no one really likes to address or talk about. It speaks of that repentance. It seems harsh, and it can make us all uneasy, and sometimes even make us feel bad about ourselves. And actually, this message is not about feeling bad about yourself. This message is about doing an about-face. Israel knew the wrong that they had done. They had been worshiping idols, and they found themselves under another oppressive situation. And Luke points this out at the beginning of the chapter by listing the rulers, Tiberius, Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod, along with other Roman tetrarchs. This tells us of the time period, and it also shows us that Roman rulership that was causing the oppression for Israel. Then we have this seemingly kind of crazy man who eats locusts, running around talking about repentance. And he's not just talking either. He is shouting. He is shouting as if this is a life or death situation. Repent. Otherwise, things aren't going to go so well. This kind of preaching is not so unfamiliar to any of us, and it has developed a stigma since God's wrath has been used as a condemning motive, mostly within strong fundamental lines of preaching. But if we look at the cross, we know that we have already been saved from our sins. God has provided a path that is redemptive, not condemning. This is the good news. And I think it is something worth facing and embracing. When John the Baptist delivered this message, the people were ready for a new exodus. They listened and they were baptized. John, however, stepped it up a notch. And he started saying, well, okay, you've done this outward sign, you've done this outward ritual, but that's not enough. There needs to be a real turning towards God. And that comes from the heart and the spirit being fully committed to this change. Sin is the turning away from God. Therefore, to be rescued from sin, we must turn the other way. We must do an about-face. John is not just proclaiming the rescue of God. John was also saying that there will be judgment as well as mercy. God is not tame, and God is not meant to be tamed. God is not something we put in a box with a nice bow under a Christmas tree. This kind of reminds me of a C.S. Lewis story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I'm sure most of you have heard of Narnia, and perhaps you've read the books and you've watched the movie. The scene I'm thinking of comes from The Day with the Beavers. The beavers are explaining to the children about Aslan, the lion. Aslan is the metaphorical expression of Jesus in the story, and he is literally a lion. And the beavers are explaining to Aslan, are explaining to the children that Aslan is not a man, but he is the lion. He is the great lion. In one particular scene, one of the children, Susan, asks, "Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie. Make no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly." "Then he isn't safe?" said Lucy. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He's the king, I tell you." Is he safe? No. But is he good? Yes. This is something that makes for a wonderful reflection of how we view Jesus. In Philippians, there are words attributed to Paul, but according to biblical scholars, this quote is actually from an early church hymn. And this goes a little bit beyond our reading this morning. "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." What this is saying is being obedient with humility and respect. Aslan is the great lion, and the great lion is not to be played with because he is not safe, but he is good. The voice that is shouting in the wilderness in Luke could be shouting today. It is urgent. It is a storm. Further on in Luke, in chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, this story goes on further. And we're told, the tree is meant to bear fruit. But if it doesn't, it will be cut down. The fruit must be real. And for the fruit to be real, the repentance needs to be real. The conviction to want the repentance needs to be real. What is hindering our obedience to God? We still worship idols. There are idols all around us, even before we walk out our front doors. Social media is a huge idol. And I will admit, spending way too much time paying attention to what's going on in the latest posts when I need to be doing other things, like reading the next 500 pages of text for my next class. Don't get me wrong, it is a great way of connecting with friends and family, and especially when those friends and family are long distance. And for the past year, over a year, it has been a great tool in connecting with others during a pandemic. There's nothing wrong with technology. Like I said, it's a tool. The problem is when that technology becomes the idol of our lives and it rules our lives. When you worry about, well, I'm not getting as many likes as the other person, and your whole day is consumed with getting those likes and being popular on this social media site, that's an idol. In short, it doesn't really provide the healthy physical connections that need to be made between human beings. There is so much information coming at us these days from social media, the internet, cell phones. And cell phones are a great invention because of the convenience that they provide, but the convenience gets misused and abused. Cell phones have actually been a part of saving some people's lives, and that's a great thing. That's like good news. But then there are ways of using those cell phones that isolate us from the real connections that we need to be making with people. If John the Baptist were to shout in the wilderness today, would we hear him? He would need at least 3 social media accounts, a Zoom account, a cell phone to stay connected at all times, or maybe even an Apple Watch, because now the cell phone has become too much of a hindrance to carry. John would be very busy having to keep up with his shouting. And then John would have to learn to practice self-care in order to get over the stress that all this connectedness would cause him. Until a pandemic hit the world did not realize how much damage it was doing to itself in all its busyness and its all of its information and data and news. I'm going to end with a question, and actually a couple of questions, for all of us to ponder. If John the Baptist were to send out a shout out from the wilderness today, what do you think the message would be? Do you think it would be the same? And to add to that, do you think we would hear him? Amen. Please stand or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them to the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our sovereign, you are always coming into the world. Come to us now, soon, and forever, and let us receive you as the child of holiness and the wind of change. Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess
that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Peace, Jerry. God's peace, peace. Hey, do you need to do the Sanctus Benedictus? Good morning, everyone. So I want to start by saying thank you to Tara for preaching for us this morning and for that message. It was interesting that I have a lay preacher at St. Albans this morning, and both Tara and Tracy quoted the same part of Philippians, which is not in our reading, but is a part of important part of Philippians. It was really neat. And you didn't talk to each other about it or anything?
No.
Super neat. I want to extend a big welcome, and I'm going to embarrass them and ask them to stand up. John Nagoma and Will Maddie. Did I say those names correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Both from Malawi, and both of you are ordained in the Anglican Church. Well, welcome, and so
pleased to have you here. Tara brought her friends down. Tara brings people, friends, to church. You should learn from Tara. She brings her friends to church. God bless, and thank you for braving the fog all the way down the mountain. Both of them are studying at the School of Theology at Suwannee, working on a master's degree. So thank you for being here. This morning is our annual meeting. It's directly after the service, and there is some food to have, and we'll have an important couple of conversations and some back and forth. We'll elect vestry members to head into 2022. We'll hear about our budget. So please come and be a part of that. There's deviled eggs. If what I said before wasn't enough, it wasn't enticing enough, the deviled eggs and pecan pie. If I were bringing up my roots, I would say pecan pie, but that's weird. Also, I think Tara should talk about it, but there's a Advent series, Advent Expressions. It's available to you online. Linda, is everything okay? Are we dropping something? Okay. It's not the bells or anything, is it? Okay. So Advent Expressions is online via Zoom at 7 p.m. on Mondays. It's a fantastic thing. Tara is about to talk about this thing.
Well, what this is looking at the hymns from a different perspective instead of, you know, we come to church and we sing the hymns. Hymns actually contain their own theology, and many of the hymns have a history of being written based on Scripture. So it is a great reflection, some of the Advent hymns that we have in our hymnal 1982, to just kind of learn the history, learn the who wrote it, and the Scripture that goes behind it. So it's all combined into one, and we're not singing anything.
You don't have to sing. That's
no,
the
you don't have
part.
To sing.
There's no singing.
We're just going to...
Unless you want to.
Yes, absolutely. If the Spirit moves you, absolutely. I'm not going to stop the Spirit. So, yeah.
Thanks,
so it's maybe an hour long, not even that long.
In addition, we are accepting gifts for stocking stuffers and for children in need. If you have questions about what kind of gifts to bring for folks, Lloyd will tell you all about it. Approach him after the service. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without fear or shame rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross, offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts.
Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. At the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, constant in love. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this Sunday in Advent and remain with you always. To love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.